It is June 17th, 2017. Is that right?
You got it.
And this is the KPFA local station board meeting, and the meeting is called to order. Carol, could you please take the roll call?
Yes. Can you hear me? Okay. Adams, Sharon?
Here.
Oh, my God, that's really loud.
Okay, you don't have to hold it.
Adams, Sharon?
Here.
Ahmad Anderson, excused. Kim P.Z. William, excused. Chris Corey, excused. Brian Frollo.
Here.
Lisa Dettner.
Louder, Lisa.
Lisa, are you there?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. Anthony Fess.
Here.
Sasha Putron, requested excused. Yuri Gottsman.
Here by phone.
Thank you, Yuri. Christina Huggins, requested excused. Sabrina Jacobs, requested excused. Janet Coburn. Absent. Tim Lynch, requested excused. Scott Olson. Absent. Lewis Sawyer. Absent. TM Scruggs.
Present.
Thank you. TM present. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Carol Travis.
Oh, here.
Hello.
Andrea Turner.
Hello. Hello.
She did.
Hello.
Tom Voorhees.
Hello.
Here on the phone.
Thank you, Tom.
Not on the mic.
Carol Wolfley, present. Richard Walensky.
I'm here.
Marilla Arguelles.
Here.
And Ramses Tion Nichols.
I'm here.
Thank you. The roll call is complete.
Could you give a count? So
we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Talk into the mic.
Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Present, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4 remote.
Okay.
So that gives us 13 as a quorum.
Okay, so we have a quorum. Thank you very much. All right, the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda? A second. All in favor, please signify. Is there any changes or additions? Or no? Okay. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries. Okay. And have people read the minutes? Do we have, what's happened with the minutes? And for the May minutes, yes.
I actually believe it says resolution by Sharon Adams, move that the KPFA LSB accept Bill Campisi. I believe that was TM's resolution, not mine.
Okay, so where is that?
Under where it says 9? KPFA LSB membership update.
Oh. Okay.
Under 2, I guess. Well, yeah, KPFA LSB membership update. Then it says resolution from a few lines down, 4 lines down. It says resolution from Sharon Adams. That was the resolution from TM.
Okay.
think that's what it was.
Any other corrections or additions? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
With the necessary correct, with the correction, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. These minutes are approved. I think we have some minute issues from the May meeting, but shall we deal with them now?
This is the May meeting.
I mean the April meeting.
Thing, my understanding was that the only thing that was unresolved was that Brian Crowell was not here and did not vote on the two motions.
Okay. All right. All of that other stuff about the stuff that you wrote, Sharon, when in looking back on the minutes, you don't think those should that should be in the minutes? Who cares? Who would
should it ever be?
Read the minutes?
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Okay. For ease for our secretary.
Oh, I don't know how to do it. Turn the, turn that thing. There you go, yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, that's
that thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's on. It's kind of low, but.
Too much. Have we taken roll yet?
What?
Have we taken roll yet?
I think that was Sabrina.
Have we taken roll yet? Yeah. Yes, you said you were here.
No, who is this?
That was Lisa.
No, it's
that
not
somebody
Sabrina.
Else? Who is it?
No, it's Sabrina. Sabrina?
Oh,
Sabrina.
It's Sabrina.
Sabrina.
Oh, okay. Yes. Sabrina is here.
Hello.
Okay, we're going, I would like to move that we add Sabrina to, okay, so we're adding Sabrina. Also, I noticed that there was an error, and it was 10 and 3 on the count, 10 present and 3 remote. And I also would like to move that we accept the excused people who have requested excused absences.
Okay, all in favor of accepting the excuses, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
motion carries. Oh, noes? Abstentions. Okay. Announcements. Anybody have an announcement? I have an announcement. Today in Oakland, a museum, a capitalism museum opened today. I just saw this on the internet, so I'm not sure what it means, but it's an art project that's open for a couple of months that is designed to show what it would be like without capitalism. So it's as if capitalism is gone, so you need a museum for it. Anyway, so it's some art installation. Anyway, that's my announcement.
Where is it?
I don't know. I'll look it up. Google it.
I also wanted to announce that today is celebration of Juneteenth in Berkeley, and it will probably be going after this meeting in case people want to go and take it.
Actually, with all due respect, Ms. Secretary, the Berkeley Juneteenth is tomorrow, and today there's two, one in East Oakland, and the other one is in downtown Oakland, or West Oakland, actually.
It's tomorrow. Thank you. Well,
no problem.
Okay, public comments. Young woman, did you want to make public comment?
I did, actually.
If you do, you have to take a microphone and say who you are. Thank you. And you have a couple of minutes.
Hello, my name is Bullet, and I am volunteering with something called peoplesopen.net. We are a group of people from just the community, and we're...
We can't hear that on the...
Okay, I'll be louder. Better?
Yes.
Okay. So People's Open Net is a group of people building a mesh that's currently based out of Temescal at Omni Commons. We put nodes, which are directional, like Wi-Fi bridges on top of people's homes, which relays that internet signal from Omni Commons to the general community. It's for, you know, for everybody to use. It's free. It's not just for internet. We also want to run other applications on it, like emergency communications, that sort of thing. So we're completely volunteer and community-based. These nodes that we use, they're like the bridges for the internet that you would use at home. They require line of sight. They're fairly strong. They have like a range of about 2 miles. The beams are very narrow. So we recently had a node installed on an apartment building on that same block, which is Shattuck and 48th. And we now have line of sight to the hills. We try to do something called war driving. So somebody would hold up a node and somebody had a node in their car and we, you know, sort of like gauge the range up the hills. And of course, the best spot is the top of the hill where KPFA's towers are. And I just wanted to maybe talk to you guys about what we're doing and maybe possibly if you guys can tell me if there's some sort of partnership that we can do. We're also community-based. If there's anything that you guys need to know about the project, we have a website, and we also have a meeting that happens at Omni Commons every Tuesday from 7:30 p.m. And there are very knowledgeable people that could also reach out over email.
Thank you. Would you leave your email address at least with me? And yeah,
just could you say your website?
The website is peoplesopen.net. peoplesopen.net.
You know there.
Can anyone hear that? Cause
this
yes,
is TM.
We
on
heard.
The phone.
What?
On the phone.
You have a phone number.
Oh. My phone number is...
Well, for
don't say your phone
some
number.
Contact phone
oh,
number.
I see. Okay, I will. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Okay.
I heard none of that.
She's going to give us the phone number. But she's asked, she's requesting it to be given.
Yeah, but we'll have it.
You know, this is
we're not going to broadcast it over the internet.
You know, there are some people who object to having more Wi-Fi broadcast into their homes, and that includes people who have shows on KPFA. So one concern would be that we would be enabling more Wi-Fi.
I'm really not hearing people.
Would be broadcast into people's homes without their permission.
I understand.
Okay.
I guess.
Question?
Sure, I'd like to respond.
Can the volume be turned up?
We're working on it. We're just going to go forward, though. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll speak slightly louder. So we are there is a group called peoplesopen.net, but everyone that volunteers on the project come in of their own initiative. So we're all just people from the community. Everyone that puts nodes up are also just people that live in, you know, the area. A lot of them also contribute bandwidth. So I would say that Wi-Fi already exists out of these people's homes. I mean, they have like Wi-Fi routers in their homes, except they're not sharing with their neighbors or anyone else. Maybe because of a Comcast contract or something like that prevents them from doing so. When they install a node, we tell people that they can contribute maybe like 5% or 10% of their bandwidth, if they wish, to People's Open Net, which is open to the community. So that's what I would say, that Wi-Fi is already being broadcast out of people's homes. It's just that other people cannot use it.
Okay. All right. I remind you, this is the public comments. But go ahead.
So, because we better establish this if you're asking for permission. You know,
louder, TM.
we need to, you know, establish what's going on here if we're going to even consider, you know, a position from the LSB to recommend for usage of the antennas. So what is it that you're bringing on? If you're saying you're using Wi-Fi that's already being generated inside people's homes, right? So what is it that you're putting up in the hills to target where, you know?
All right. After this exchange, we're going to shut this down because it could go on. Sure. I think it's a very developed conversation.
I'm asking technical questions that you can explain to someone who technically understands.
Right.
But, you know, I'm bringing up the point that people don't want to have more Wi-Fi pushed into their homes than they already have without their permission.
Right. And it would be useful after the conclusion of this if you would give him your phone number.
Yes.
And so that this could be followed up if he wishes.
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Great, thank you.
Okay. We done? Okay. Carol, you wanted to say something else?
No, it's okay. Just
no, she didn't. Okay. So, now we have the, general manager's report, which I have passed out to some of you because I didn't have enough for everybody, and I sent it to you by email this morning, and, will somebody read it? Richard will read it. Here, Richard. Yeah, is that mic on? Or I don't know. Can you, Lisa, can you hear it?
That's why. Hello. How's that? Lisa, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, great. KPFA Spring Fund, okay, start at the beginning. KPFA's General Manager Report, June 2017, by Quincy McCoy. KPFA's Spring Fund Drive. We did fall short of our $640,000 goal by $20,000, yet it wasn't as much as we expected. The momentum we picked up in the last week of the drive did produce a generous outpouring from our listeners. On air, we repeated that we would stick to our end of the bargain and end the drive on time, and this motivated our donors to do their part. The last day alone, we were able to raise $90,000. Our post-drive campaign, We Believe in You, netted us more money online in the following week after our pledging was over. Remember, the NFC passed a resolution that all Pacifica stations will fork over a predetermined amount of money off the top of this drives funds to the national office. KPFA paid its share, $28,000, on time to the national office on May 25th. Then we have a little chart here. $620,000. Total pledge, $599,11. Total paid, $402,862. Unfulfilled, $196,148. Should we go through the other charts?
I would say no. Do I have agreement? Everybody agrees. No.
Okay, great. KPFA station programming goals. A new member of the CAB asked us for a copy of the radio station's goals for 2017. I thought it would be a good idea that the LSB also have a copy of what we have our sights on for the year. KPFA goals. These are bullet points. KPFA is committed to the fundamental goal of expanding our listenership in 2017. Tapping into younger audiences, 20 to 45-year-olds, is a priority. We plan to continue increasing our understanding of what younger generations want to know about politics, music, and health issues, and to add more programming that speaks to those issues while still maintaining our mission of balanced intergenerational audience. Bullet point. We are always working to improve social media network by increasing our brand/image recognition, acquiring new listeners, and giving listeners more outlets to be heard and give us feedback about what they hear on the air. We are redirecting our resources to embrace this new direction of on-demand radio by creating new podcasts with exclusive content for our listeners. Many of KPFA's programs also have their own fan base on social media. KPFA regularly connects with these audiences through our social media strategies. Bullet point, KPFA continues to be ahead of the curve in reporting social and political issues that other media outlets ignore. We continue striving for a better understanding of what our listening audience wants to hear and what they should hear. We continue upholding the responsibility of a non-commercialized radio station. Bullet point, expanding our methods of fundraising on and off the air is crucial. We continue to prioritize learning how social media can play a part in fundraising and use the resources we have to expand our understanding of how to fundraise. We strive to create and maintain relationships with major donors that are essential for the future of KPFA. Bullet point. To reach our goals, KPFA needs to form partnerships with like-minded political and social organizations, creating projects that have positive impacts on our immediate community. These can be organizations that have a younger audience pool and therefore would help to create a new generation of KPFA listeners and perhaps staff. These organizations should already be creating a buzz and connection within the community that they are located in and have a trusted relationship with their participants that are dealing with social justice, environmental, immigration, and employment issues. Bullet point. As part of our goal to increase listenership, KPFA will continue to employ all available resources to get to news stories first and understand the complexity of these issues. KPFA news anchors and reporters have an understanding of the type of news stories KPFA listeners need to hear and plan to continue to innovate how to use social media as a tool to get these stories and dig deep. We also use KPFA's social media networks as a tool to supplement our broadcasting and to get the word out about who KPFA is. Bullet point. KPFA's unique apprenticeship program and news training program play a crucial role in meeting our goal to expand listenership and community outreach. The apprentice program is designed to provide comprehensive broadcast, technical, and administrative skills training in radio. This program, called First Voice, focuses on training women and people of color from the ages of 20 to 65 plus for the world of new media with an eye to build, strengthen, and empower our participants. The program is designed as a collaborative work environment, community building, and passing on skills and stories. The news training program also offers ongoing internships in its news department. Interns serve as news writers and field reporters or as production and on-air engineers, and sometimes both. Credit can be arranged for qualified college students. Paid freelance assignments are possible. These programs continue to feed into our goals to bring people of a younger and wider demographic onto the air, reflecting diverse communities of the Bay Area and beyond. Bullet point, KPFA is knee-deep in all of the Bay Area diverse neighborhoods. As part of our 68-year mission and continuing goals, we engage in activity that shall contribute to lasting understanding between individuals of all races, creeds, and colors. It is paramount for us to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together by other radio stations because of their lack of access to these communities. Bullet point, KPFA's nationally recognized speaker program covers a wide spectrum of diverse voices examining all the issues of the day, race, gender, politics, and immigration. Last but not least, KPFA's outreach committee is a dedicated group who form our coverage area, who roam our coverage area, tabling at events, spreading the mission, but more importantly, listening to what our listening community has on their minds. Programming updates. KPFA and Pacifica will air a 15-hour marathon broadcast of George Orwell's 1984 on Tuesday, June 27th. For the first time since the original broadcast in 1975, the classic cover-to-cover reading by blacklisted writer Charles Morgan and legendary voiceover artist June Foray is another fundraiser for Pacifica's national office and will begin at 6 a.m. Up front, Brian Edwards-Tiekert will return from his Stanford fellowship back co-hosting the morning show with Kat Brooks. Mitch Jezerich will end his heroic double duty stint. Okay. And return full time to his beloved Letters and Politics show. But because of popular demand and because it is just damn good radio, Mitch will be making regular appearances on Upfront to give his analysis on issues. Operational facelift. For under $1,000 in material and labor, we have hopefully fixed our water leakage problems and have put a new painted face at the studio's entrance. The lights and camera are now operational, making it a safer environment for employees to enter and exit at night.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. All right. Obviously, we can't have questions. All right. The treasurer report. Here's another area where we are wanting. Neither Maria nor...
I actually have a motion to offer.
Oh, please.
We're the GM present. I'm writing it now, but what it will say is the LSB requests that KPFA management provide the LSB with a spreadsheet showing a city-by-city count of KPFA subscribers. And I'm going to ask that this be provided in 2 weeks from now by email. The reason being, I'd like to see where we're...
I can't hear.
Tough. Go ahead. He'll talk as loud as he can, but that's all we can do. We're all doing the best we can. He's trying to turn it up now.
Is this better, Lisa? Yes. I think
Anthony, can you try a different...
What?
How about... Oh, okay. Can you hear now, Sabrina?
What?
Guess not.
This is like a... Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. I guess the motivation is pretty clear. I'd like to see where we're quote unquote performing and underperforming as far as subscribership goes, so we might know where to better devote the resources that are available for.
Anthony,
publicity.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm calling on myself.
That's a motion.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I can second that.
Seconded. Okay. I have a question, and then Sharon will have a question. And maybe somebody else will have a question, and TM will have a question, and then Anthony, you can answer. First of all, my question is, it's two-part. One, is this readily available, or is this a job? Because if it's a job, and it's something that Maria has to pull as the business manager, I think the priorities are audit and budget, so that it would be third. So I have a concern about the deadline that you're imposing in your motions. The second part is, do areas where we're strong in your mind, therefore areas where we concentrate, or are areas where we're weak where you think we should concentrate? And then Sharon, why don't we get three questions and then answer them all?
I just didn't quite actually understand what you were asking for. So you're asking for, because I mean, how would Quincy have or anyone have that information if we don't have Arbitron or Nielsen ratings? So how would he even gather that information? Okay,
membership, I assume. I would like to say that I think that's a good idea. I also, you know, it's a secondary priority as opposed to getting the audits done, obviously.
And the budget.
But
I can't hear. I'm going to hang up.
Come on, join us.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
She's gone.
So, because that's what a board of a nonprofit is supposed to do, is help with fundraising and kind of different stuff like that there. And our outreach committee, I'm sure, would be very happy, you know, to know that information. So I think that's a good idea. And I support Carol's.
I can't hear him.
Caveat.
I can't hear.
Okay. As to your question, Carol, this would be a job for Chris Stelic, the database manager, rather than Maria. I would think he could do it pretty quickly. Simply call up the database and then sort them by city, and then, you know, just go and say, okay, there's this many in Daly City and that many in Hayward and what have you. I'm not sure what your question was.
I don't understand how they would measure, because, I mean, maybe you just sort of answered it with your internet, you know, you said it would be over the internet that people are, I don't know how they would measure it. How do we know how many people are actually listening at any time?
Not listeners, but subscribers.
Ah, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, I think maybe all the questions are answered. Oops.
Thank you, Anthony. I really appreciate this motion, and I would like to also add another piece to it, that I see that Quincy wrote in his report, we're knee-deep in all of Bay Area's diverse neighborhoods, and also, you know, connecting with a lot of different organizations. There's plans. So I would like to see, you know, I would like to see that LSB and the station cooperate in sharing ideas for different organizations that can be targeted, and to work with the CAB on that, because it's the neighborhoods and the organizations, and at some point, so I'd like to add something to your motion saying, identify targeted organizations that KPFA plans to reach out to. Is that could you accept that as a friendly amendment?
That'll be a separate motion.
It seems a little
different,
more open-ended as far as how much time the paid staff would have to devote to it.
So that could be a separate item. Okay.
So let's vote on Anthony's motion. And Anthony, could you read it as it's now written to be handed to Carol?
Yes. The LSB requests that KPFA management provide the LSB with a spreadsheet showing a city-by-city count of KPFA subscribers.
I can't hear it.
The echo is very bad over the phone. Can I get somebody to read the motion directly into the phone?
Is this better? Hello, is this better?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, Carol, if you could read the motion directly into the phone.
We don't have
helpful.
A phone, Tom. We don't have a phone. We have a sit up.
Can I make a suggestion that maybe people listen via the live stream? And because we can hear you very well when you speak, but maybe if you could listen via the live stream, you could hear what's happening. We don't have a live stream?
No. And also, the internet connection is unstable. Okay. It has said that here coming up on my computer, and so I think we just have to go forward. Yes. And we're doing the best we can, and that's all we can do. And we apologize that it's not better, but that's life. Yes.
I just want to remind people that the phone access policy does specifically state that we will do our best efforts, but that we cannot be responsible. So that was part of what we thought this could happen, and we apologize that it's happening, but we can't delay the meeting for these issues. We specifically put that in the policy.
All right. Go ahead.
People listening on the phone, is this any better?
If she could read it, I could probably understand it.
This is Anthony's motion. The LSB requests that KPFA management provide the LSB with a spreadsheet showing a city-by-city count of KPFA subscribers. We request that it be provided by email within 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
What's with the feedback? What's with the feedback, you guys?
Okay. All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions. It passes unanimously.
Yay.
Okay. Carol, did you want to make a motion about the other items?
I would prefer to wait until Quincy's here, and then we can get more information and maybe request that he come to the next meeting to talk about his report.
Well, he knows.
Yeah.
Okay. The treasurer's report. I have on my phone, which is tiny and I have terrible eyes, and I just forwarded it to all of you for your phones and your internet reading, something I got from Maria, since neither Maria nor Chris Corey are here. And also, because Maria has been paying attention mostly to the budget, the stuff on the Treasury's report is truncated and short. But she gave us a short, quick set of figures, which essentially indicate that right at the moment we're at a loss of, but it's less of a loss than was budgeted for and better, and 47% better than we were year to date in 2016. So we're doing better, although it's not perfect. I just got another, your internet stable is unstable. So you can look at the your email when you have a chance and see what she sent. But, again, because the audit has been first on her to-do list, this is short and not comprehensive, so I expect at the next meeting we'll have more. Okay. Anybody have anything? Yes, Sharon.
I have a motion.
Go ahead.
First, excuse me, I just want to say that I understand there maybe was some issue about paying for the Community Advisory Board, the CAB, to hold their meetings at the Grassroots House, and my understanding is that's $15 a month. And the Community Advisory Board is required by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and it is part of our obligation to the community. So since there seemed to have been some confusion about whether it was permissible to do that, I wanted to actually make a motion to amend our budget, current budget for 2017, where we have a very large budget for our local station board expenses that we are way underneath in terms of our expenditures, so we have a huge surplus. And I'd like to include an amendment to the budget to say that the line item that's in the budget for the local station board meetings can also be used to pay for community advisory board meetings. That's my motion.
All right. Second. Second? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. On discussion, just for your information, it has been cleared up in terms of the rights of it, but that doesn't mean we can't go ahead and do this motion, right, just to be clear of the line item it comes from and so on. Is there any discussion? Yes, Marilla. Microphone.
Yeah, I'm curious to know if we could have the meetings at the station. Is that a problem?
I think that for some reason there was. Locked door, yeah. Locked it's got door. A locked
okay.
door,
yeah, it is
so
a
there
mess.
Is a problem.
Yeah, you don't have a cell phone, especially.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions, discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion, abstentions? Motion carries? Okay. PNB reports and discussion. Aki, do you want to, open this?
Well, only thing I can say is that I think everybody's aware that negotiation with the Empire State Building is going on and is coming to a fairly, it needs to be resolved in the next few weeks. So the network is doing everything they can to being in best negotiating position for its financial situation goes. And the second thing is doing a PR campaign in the New York also to raise the awareness of the New York audience to the situation that's happening. So those are basically the two prongs that we're using right now.
I was at my first PNB meeting, and the first half was pretty successful. Then it was more disruption that led to nothing happening the second half. But that's very correct, and I would just emphasize that if there's going to be some kind of a legal action, we need to recognize that not everything happens inside the courts, and seeing how the person who is gouging us for the price of the antenna is in a position to be shamed with some public activity. I mean, I know we're here in the Bay Area, but many people have contacts in New York. So whatever, if that ever develops into something, there may be some way we can contact people we know, organizations we know, to help mobilize them to make the antenna owner who is screwing us look as bad as possible before it actually gets inside a courtroom. Outside of that, everything was kind of executive session. You know.
Sabrina, do you want to add anything?
No, not at this time.
Okay, we're open for discussions. And Carol has a report and wrote something that people who are present have in their hands.
Yeah, I wanted to say that. Okay, I have passed out a paper. Sabrina and I were working on helping develop some public relations materials to be used in New York, and I agree with TM. I think it should also be shared nationally because there are people who, you know, all over the country can support Pacifica with money and or they may know people in New York. And I, in doing some research about the history of the Empire State Building and really came to understand that at the time of 9/11, although Pacifica and WBAI had the transmitter on the Empire State Building, the Empire State Building was able to monopolize all of the towers, many of the tower access in New York, and then set up these horrifically challenging contracts that, you know, have over 7% cost of living increase fees per year. So over the years, if you have a 15-year contract, that has taken us into this horrific place. And I think while we do not want to get into the particulars of the lawsuit, it's important to understand that WBAI has played a crucial public service role at the time of 9/11 in their delivery of information to the public and helping people to organize, and also during Hurricane Sandy under horrific situations where people were trapped in the building and still broadcasting, and it was channeled through KPFK in Los Angeles so that they could get call-ins. So it was a very creative and important contribution. And I think as we face more climate change and more political and economic challenges, we're going to need Pacifica even more than ever. So I encourage people to take this up as a national campaign and to work with other stations across Pacifica to help this urgent situation.
I want to raise something that in a haphazard way, just to have it called to people's attention rather than to go into in depth, because I'm really not equipped to do it. And Christina, it's something that Christina Huggins brought to our attention. Her email on this actually went to our open email list on May 24th, in case you want to look it up. And it's regarding stuff that has been going on at WBAI and the taking of a contract for $10,000 just after all the stations were asked for $28,000 to help the BAI, you know, bill with Empire State and so forth. And also on some illegality that she feels is, that was brought to the attention by, somebody, Martin, who's one of the, Ann Martin Jameson of the Finance Committee about, how things are,
do you
premiums.
Mean R. Paul Martin, Madam
Pardon?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, do you mean R. Paul Martin?
Yeah, Ann Martin Jameson, I think it was.
Okay,
said.
I don't know who that is and okay. Don't have anybody else. He's
on the Finance Committee. He's a Finance Committee member, according to this.
Okay.
But in any case.
R. Paul Martin.
Okay, there was something else by R. Paul Martin. Anyway, there's some material that on these questions. And since we are joined financially, we're one entity, she was raising that it is important that even though it is another extension of our responsibilities, that we understand what is going on at some of the other stations about accumulating bills and also being responsible in terms of premium and so forth. Anyway, just Christina can tell you more when she's here. All right. Anybody else have any questions or statements or ideas or things they want to raise? Richard.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Sabrina?
I'd like to be on the stack, please.
What?
I'd like to be on the stack, please.
Why don't you go first since you're on the PNB, and then Richard can go. Go ahead.
I just want to stress the importance of the timeline that we're looking at here. We have 3 more months.
You're fading in and out, which I think is a result of the unstable internet connection that it's being referenced in the here on my screen.
Okay.
So
just want to stress that it's imperative that people get motivated and to put whatever efforts forth that they can, any type of connections that they have in New York City proper. If you know any council people, if you know any political folks, any political figures, any connections to those political figures, to activate them, get them to write letters to the judge, and we can send that information out to folks once we're able to take it out of a closed session, a secretive type situation that's in right now. But we definitely need to get folks motivated to help them, help the New York WBAI folks. Because right now, ESBRT, they are looking at the money. All they care about are their shareholders. That's what they're supposed to do. So, yeah, if we can, you know people that can get out there and get out in front of the Empire State Building, get out to the courthouse, whatever you can do is very important at this point. Thank you.
Richard. Richard passes. Seeing no other discussion on this, Lisa, do you have something that we can hear you on new business, on need for a development director?
I'm going to be there in about 5 minutes. Can you wait till then?
I think we may be adjourned by then, but if you're here. Huh?
The whole meeting?
Maybe.
Carol, I have one other thing about Pacifica. I had one other thing I wanted to bring up about Pacifica, and although it's not great news, it is public information. And it came to my attention that the taxes on the Nakapan and Pacifica National Office buildings are in arrears, and that part of the problem with that is that there is a possibility to get an exemption, to apply for an exemption, because we have status as a charitable trust, but the application hasn't been done. The bills, it's my understanding that the bills for that go to the Pacifica Foundation care of KPFA radio at 1929, which is the KPFA station. So that's something that I want us to be aware of, and perhaps I was thinking that maybe Quincy or Maria would be here today, and we would be able to ask about that. So,
Lisa, are you there?
I will be there. I'm at KPFA. I'll be there in 2 minutes.
Should we? I'm wondering if there's any interest in potentially going into a closed session to discuss maybe in a little more detail the Empire State Building lawsuit, the property.
I don't think we can go into a, can we go into a closed session without it being, posted.
We can't disclose
I don't think
any
so.
More information about, Madam Chair, we can't disclose any more information than we've already given you at this point as far as the PNB is concerned. So, I mean,
okay.
If you guys want to talk about it amongst yourselves,
okay.
That's fine.
So we could talk, Sabrina. Well, that would be true. And, I think we could go into it according to, just, I asked Aki yesterday.
Go.
I was actually just putting out the question of whether there was any interest in talking about that here while we're potentially waiting for Lisa, if there, or just even in general, if there's interest in talking about it.
Point of order, you have to cut the people off here because then it'll be on a podcast and won't be executive. So do we have a quorum?
First of all, you don't need a quorum to keep going. Once you have a quorum established, you're cool. Second, you can keep them on without recording. So, and it may be that you can have a closed session and then report it immediately after the reason for your doing that, but I'm not sure.
Yes, that's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, so we can have a closed session. Do people want a closed session? Okay.
Let's wait for Lisa's arrival.
Well, that's not for a closed session.
She's here.
Ta-da. Okay. So, are we going to have a discussion in closed session? Or are we going to go to Lisa's discussion of a development director? Your pleasure. Let's hear it. Okay, now you have to, Richard, pass her a microphone. Never mind. Just sit there and smile. Okay.
So, am I going to give feedback? Okay. So, this is terrible. Basically, I guess my concern is more general about the internal structure of KPFA in terms of fundraising, because our, I really appreciated the GM report, but it really didn't have any specifics on how we were going to increase our listenership and reach out to more
to younger people, and truthfully, I've been hearing this for 15 years or more. I don't know what happened before I was there. And I don't really see anything concrete happening. And I think, as people know, our listenership and our subscribers are generally over 50 years old or older. And we're not really increasing our number of subscribers significantly. So even though we may be just meeting our fund drive, we're not really sustainable, especially in the future. And as we know, young people do not listen to the radio. I went to, as part of Women's Magazine, we have trained over 30 young students from UC Berkeley and Mills and other schools. But they don't stay because they're in it for the money and for, they want to have themselves, you know, a podcast or whatever. And we've gone to over 20 classes at UC Berkeley, women's studies classes. Of those, I would say 2% even heard of KPFA. And that's a women's studies class. I mean, these, so when it says in his report that we are in all communities, I don't see any evidence of that. I mean, I know when we tried to do outreach 5 years ago, there wasn't even material to hand out. Their outreach committee, I think, is being done by a bunch of volunteers who go to the KPFA events, which has KPFA listeners, and maybe they go to some other events. But the outreach is minimal. I mean, I have been in a lot of groups. Just one group in particular, Women's Action Coalition, we had over 500 people in the first meeting because we managed to get a front page spread on the San Francisco Guardian. Where's our outreach? I don't see it. I'm not seeing it. Is anybody seeing it? I mean, handing out a few flyers at a few measly events in Berkeley or wherever is not outreach. So, I mean, this is a serious problem. And when we talk, he talked very nicely about the apprenticeship program. I went through the apprenticeship program. I have seen the apprenticeship program be defunded by this body, and to the point where Mickey, who is the program director, is getting paid for 6 hours and working 20. We used to have 2 full-time people. That's the people who are bringing in, who are people of color, young people, women, etc. They come and they leave. They go somewhere else. We don't, very few of them stay. We don't tap them for outreach. They're not really brought into the station in a way that's meaningful. They're not, like, utilized as part of the station. When I went there, we barely had any contact with that outside of KPFA. We had one development director in my 15 years here, Lem, who had very little experience. I know Richard is, as a development director, is pointless. I've been part of the East Bay Meditation Center. We hired an organizational consultant and a new director, and we went from 8,000 visits 1 year to 15 the next year. And now we are growing. We made $50,000 on an event with Angela Davis. People volunteering, people want to be a part of the East Bay Meditation Center, first of all, because it has good vibes, unlike KPFA, which has terrible vibes. And it's welcoming. And they're really making an effort to do outreach and to expand and to bring in people. I think Quincy...
Sabrina for the stack, Madam Chair.
I think Quincy's a great guy. I just don't think he can do this on his own. And I think it's unrealistic to think he can. From what I understand, we have been budgeted for our development, outreach, marketing, whatever you want to call it, person for many years. But it's never been filled. I am not wedded to that, but I am... It is clear to me... Being at KPFA for 15 years, our equipment is old. The engineering department is dysfunctional, to say the least. We have two real staff management, well, maybe three. I don't really count Michael in that. We'll say two. We'll say Laura and Quincy, who are functional. And the rest of it is semi-functional. And it's just not sustainable. I mean, I know we have crisis, and believe me, I've been hearing this for 15 years. WBAI, WBAI, it's burning down. You know, KPFA is in good shape. We don't need to talk about it. KPFA is not in good shape. We need to seriously think about either refunding the apprenticeship program. When Quincy first came in, he said, I'm going to get a $100,000 grant for the apprenticeship program.
Well, obviously, with an audit the way it is, we can't do that. But nevertheless, the woman he was theoretically working with wasn't doing it. So it just doesn't happen. And I hear this every time a GM comes in. We're going to support the apprenticeship program. Truthfully, we don't support the apprenticeship program. This is the way racism works at KPFA. We do not financially support the apprenticeship program at the same time that the news department, which is almost 99% white, is being expanded or fully supported or not cut back. It's very frustrating. I don't think you guys understand, A, how it's there to work there. Just give you an example. I went in one weekend to do my show to find out the software that we were using had been replaced with a software that nobody knew how to use, was free, because they had made a unilateral decision and nobody communicated it. This is the kind of shit that goes on. Excuse me. And so all I'm saying is the GM report was beautifully well written. Good branding. But that doesn't say anything to me about what specifically we are going to do. And we are financially responsible for KPFA as well, not just the disaster that's called Pacifica. So I really, you know, Richard, I don't want to get bogged down in strategies. I'm not going to argue with you about a development director. We have to find common grounds. We had individual email. We have to find common ground about how we can work together, because I think we're all concerned here. So I don't care if you call it a development director. I don't care what you call it. I'm not saying Quincy's doing a bad job. Quincy's maybe doing a fine job, but it's not enough. It's been 3 years since he's been here. Great. Upgrade the website. I've never been asked to have a podcast put on the podcast site. I don't know what's happening with that, but it's not sufficient. I'm glad he's outreaching. I went to Impact Hub. I saw him there. Impact Hub has doubled. Doubled. I mean, they're packed. We are not. We're not cool people. We're not in the cool link. And we can be. So I think that KPFA is underappreciated. I don't think it's the programming. I know people have said, no, it's the programming. I don't think it's the programming. I think most people, in my experience, don't know about KPFA, young people.
Okay. Richard. Well, I think that we should give Richard a little more time than the 3 minutes or something, but after that time. No, yeah. After that time. Okay.
Okay. Well, we had an exchange about this, and some of the issues that you talk about because of the interstation politics, as a programmer, I cannot go into. I don't want to go into. And that's a problem for me. And I'll say that first. I had an exchange with Quincy, brief exchange, by texting yesterday. And, oh, shit, I lost it. Just a second. Here we go. Here's what his response was specifically. We don't have money for a development director, plus it will make no sense until all the audits are finished. But the debt will still linger and handcuff any development director, no matter how good they are, and why should a good one work for us? The cheapest way is with a grant writer. I've had 2 in 3 years with no success because of the audits. Okay, so let me. Okay. First of all, you know, I understand what you're saying,
yes,
and
I
think there is a problem. I think there is a problem. A lot of it does have to do with interstation politics inside the station, and I don't know how to deal with that. And you know exactly who we're talking about here, but I don't want to go into it publicly. If you wanted to go private, we could talk more about that. According to some material that came in from a guy named Brian Shiro, I don't remember his last name, who's been on a number of the online things, as it turns out, young people and all across the spectrum of ages, no change in demographics, 16% of them listen to radio. There's no difference between an older person listening and a younger person. The question is, how do we get our voices out there? And we've tried various methods over the years. We submitted 10,000 folios to Safeway. We did billboards. We did bus stops. We did all of this stuff. It seems that none of that works. What really works is viral, is people talking to people. I have no idea how to get that through. People have been trying to do that for years. Maybe there's some panacea, some person out there who can tell us how to do it. I went online to see how we could turn something viral. Everybody talks about it. I've not seen anything that works. I can say that at least my podcast, as I mentioned to you, seems to be popping up among the iTunes top podcasts for those people that I'm interviewing. So something's getting out there. How it's reflecting, I don't know. There is a report here that says that we are getting new subscribers. It's the listing here from Quincy. And if we look at it, we can see it. It's somewhere in here. Where's that chart? That new subscribers in the last pledge drive, 21.8% of the total pledged were new subscribers. And that seems to be pretty good. What was that?
We don't know the age.
Okay.
We don't know the age, but the truth is that, you know, we can't know the age because we're not asking the information for the age. So there's all kinds of things we don't know. How do we get younger people involved? You know, this has been an ongoing issue, frankly, since 1985, when those of us who were in our 30s were going, well, what about the people in their 20s? This has been ongoing. KPFA is an institution. Pacifica is an institution. Once we made the transition around 1970, 71, 72, in the strike, became boomer country. And it's maintained boomer country. And boomers have gotten richer and richer, and that's helped sustain the station. I know that Richard Perotsky wanted to redo the entire schedule to try to bring in younger people, and it got vetoed. Maybe for good reasons, but it got vetoed. It may be that in order to bring in younger people, we have to make a major transition in the kinds of programming we do, at which point we lose people. But if we want to maintain and if we want to keep what we're doing, then it may not be working for younger people, and we don't have the political interest for various reasons in making those changes. So I'm stymied there. I think that Quincy's suggestion for grant writers to bring in more money off the air is where we need to be looking.
Okay, so Sabrina is on the stack, and then Marilla. I apologize. And then Lisa. But then this is a conversation that really has budget implications I think we can then, this will be a pre-conversation so that when we get to the budget conversation, we can revisit this substantively in terms of numbers. And these comments now are going to be timed for 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. So Sabrina.
Okay, so if the other two don't get 2 minutes, but it's messed up. Come on, man, chair. All right. In response to Lisa Detmer's statement, comment in regards to getting a development director, with all due respect to the apprenticeship program and your experience in the apprenticeship program, the program has been kept funded as an experiment for over 20 years, and it has not made much of a difference in broadening our listenership. And my question to you is, how can we utilize the apprenticeship program to bring in more listeners? And I think that needs to be posed to Miss Mickey and your experience. You know, how can we bring in more money. As far as your ideas, bringing in a development director, and yes, we have been budgeted for a development director at KPFA proper. However, we have a huge issue going on on a national level. And given the present financial situation, we don't have the ability to hire anybody anywhere at this point, not until this issue is dealt with. Now, I know that you've heard over the last 15 years, I can only speak for the last 7 to 8 years that I've been at KPFA, and I know that you've been hearing from what you said, oh, WBAI does this, WBAI that. This issue right now, I can tell you, is the one thing that could bring the whole network down. So we're in a freeze right now. Was that under 2 minutes?
Marilla, pass Marilla the mic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
It's on, it was on.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the issue that, this is why I'm here, this is why I'm on this board, and I feel very strongly about this, because I think we're wasting the university, and I think there are a lot of people up at the university. You couldn't find a more creative, diligent person than who's the professor who teaches the wealth and poverty? I'm drawing a blank. Robert Reich? No. Anyhow, we've got some professors up there who are doing everything they can to reach the students. If somehow we could tie this in with the curriculums that they're teaching so that it would become required for people to listen to the shows. We have excellent shows on the air right now. And there's nobody who's going back and forth up there. And I think it's really vital that we've got 30,000 people up there. They're captive. And we need to be, this is Berkeley for Christ's sake. It's high time that we made the people up there, because I've been hiring students from the university for 15, 20 years. And I'd say 1% of them might have heard of us at one time or other. None of them listen. And when I tell them what's on the air, they're mind-boggled. Now, they're not necessarily going to become subscribers overnight, but if it can be part of the curriculums, and I really think this is what I was talking about. It didn't get published when I applied because Earl had to leave, but I went overboard to try to explain that I think we could tie in with the archives to have forums that students would be required to participate in if they wanted to be in debate clubs, things like that. We could have prizes. We could have wealthier people in the community adopt an issue that they would then publicize and get credit for and acclaim among their peers. There are ways to do this, and they don't have to cost a lot of money.
Lisa.
I agree with everything everybody has said. I think that it's difficult, Richard. I also think, unfortunately, at KPFA, we get into this mindset that we've done this before and it never happened. We get programmers at KPFA are very disillusioned. I'll go in and talk to them and they'll say, oh, I brought that up 20 years ago. Anyhow, yes, that's just one thing. I have talked to, like I said, the Women's Studies Department. They have used I got a grant from Estrella for $10,000 to do queer programming. The piece I produced on critiquing gay marriage was played on KQED and 20 other stations around the country, and it was used by many professors that I know. But I had to do this all on my own, and I didn't have the support of KPFA or the help of anybody. In fact, I went to Lim to try to get a grant, and she didn't help me. I had to get the grant on my own. KPFA wouldn't even sponsor our grant. I had to go to a radio station up in Santa Rosa with the help of Adrian. This is the kind of resistance I'm talking about that we don't have. I don't care if you call it a grant writer. Grant writer is great, but you can't just have a grant writer. It has to be someone who has good experience outreaching, knows the community, marketing, all those things. It's not impossible. I have been in other organizations that work. We don't need to think that KPFA is a disaster. It's not like the problem child forever. So I just think, yes, the universities, I am sure Sabrina, your question about the apprentices is right on point. Exactly my point. They are not brought into the station in a productive way because, like I said, Mickey is working twice the number of hours she's getting paid for because we cut their budget so significantly that she's basically all the people of color's budget there got cut. They're all working pretty much free, except for the few hours that they're getting paid for. And working with over 30 to 40 people a year. That's crazy.
Okay, Richard, Carol is next, then Richard, then Brian.
Thanks. Lisa, I really appreciate you bringing this. I was in the phone room and, you know, a guy walked in and from UC Berkeley and he wanted to help answer phones and he wanted to help organize on the campus to bring KPFA to the campus. And, you know, I am there and I'm really wanting to organize this and think, what can I do? And then I think, can I take that on as a project right now? You know, because it's like there is not an organization to help organize volunteers. We may not have a lot of money, but we do have a lot of people who care about KPFA who can be brought in, but it needs consistent organizational work. And it needs to be done creatively. I mean, maybe some of the paid programmers could be involved in something like doing development work. Maybe some volunteers could be given the support they need to organize. There has not been an outreach committee meeting in, I think, a year and a half, just for people. People come to me and they go, is there any money? Is there any money for flyers? I pay for the flyers myself, but could we, you know, get money for flyers? Because they're wanting to go out in the community. So there needs to be, basic support and organizational structure behind really having connection with the community and working with community organizations in partnership. I like the idea. I want to see how it's going to concretely be implemented. And if you can't hire somebody right now, then let's reshift some of the internal resources to address that. Thank you, Sharon, for your timing.
Richard, and then Brian, and then I want to say something.
I think you set the problem a minute ago, which is that there are actually just two people who can handle it right now, and both of them are taxed. And without more people to do this, paid people, you can't do it, period. And yet, at the same time, we have the audits, we have no money to do it, and you can't rely on the paid staff because they're overworked, and you can't rely on volunteers because they're overworked. If someone could stop talking about we need to do this and step in and do it, then it happens, but nobody has the time for that. And that's going to be a problem. It's been an ongoing problem for a long time. You know, and I do, that there are internal issues that need to be resolved that Quincy needs support on. And that's what I have to say.
Brian.
Just really quickly to respond with, was it Marilla? Marilla said, I think we also need to take into account, and I want to say this on the positive news, Jeremy Corbyn did very well in Britain in his election, and he got the young people out. He managed to do it. I'm doing some research on how, but he overcome all odds, bad media, Tony Blair's against him, but he got the young people out to vote. So it's doable. But also I'll say we have certain folks in Berkeley who proclaim to be progressive. You mentioned Robert Reich. I reached out to him for our contract in Berkeley Unified School District to help us bargain because we were getting our butts kicked, and he told us, well, good luck with that. I can't help you. I mean, we have so-called progressive people in Berkeley, and we have some very conservative forces, my experience in the school district, do not want what you're talking about. And I agree with you. There's a very conservative school board. There's very conservative curriculum. They make it difficult for you to get in to speak about these issues. So we have non-progressive forces right here in Berkeley, and frankly, we're just going to have to just take that on. I do think it's doable what you're talking about, but it's also real. It's not like this is Berkeley of the 60s. This is Berkeley with, like you said, the boomers have a lot more money, and usually I have this debate with my parents. When you get a lot more money, you typically become a lot more, frankly, conservative. And that's just the reality of it. Is that my 2 minutes?
No, you got 29 seconds.
finally, I do think, and I think you both agree, when we do get finally past the audits, past what's going to happen to us as an organization, it does appear that we can get back to a lot of these grassroots things that you're talking about. But as long as we're being kind of dragged with a kind of a rope on our leg, it just seems like it's going to be difficult. That's about it.
Okay, me. You know, there is no question that KPFA and all of Pacifica could be much more significant, much bigger, much more important than we are. Actually, we're needed so much to be bigger than we are at this time. And yet what has happened, which no one is to blame, it's just happened over time, is that we've gotten smaller and smaller and smaller and more entangled and more troubled and more enmeshed in situations which are crippling and strangling us instead of enabling us to be what we should be. And I think that it is likely, given what I have heard recently, that we're going to have some rude awakenings coming pretty soon that is going to be in our face about, you know, where we're going or not going. And it's terrible and it's troubling. And just as we have these discussions, it again raises the potential, the tremendous potential, and how terrible is that we're not able to mine it or, you know, have it blossom. In any case, I think we all get that. I think that this will enrich our discussion on the budget, and I'm not sure where we can go with this, except if people step up and do some stuff with outreach and so on. And this is your third time to talk, but we want to hear you. Pass Lisa the microphone.
So I just want to say, for instance, I offered Quincy and Maria both to pay $5,000 to hire the organizational consultant that we hired at EBMC that really helped. Neither of them took me up on it. This was 2 years ago. So what I'm saying, and I think you know this, Richard, that there's this kind of way that you're swimming upstream at KPFA that makes it hard for people to actually jump in. And that's why my point was is that to have someone who has some kind of managerial position can actually move forward on things. And I know people who are good, who might be interested. But anyhow, I just want to say that I think this is really important. And I totally get about the audit. I think I said that in the email. I get that we're dragged down. We are being dragged down. And we have also been dragged down for 15 years by the rest of the Pacifica. And we need to also think about KPFA. I mean, unless we're going to sell BAI and get $20 million, I don't see us having a big windfall, that we're going to have to deal with this issue. And many organizations are in that position. They have to plan ahead even when they don't have money because our situation is precarious, even though we seem to be meeting the budget right now. And so that's all I want to say. I can't tell you how difficult, and I also want us to just recommend that when we get these GM reports, we ask more specific questions and really find out more specifically what's going on, because as a board, we are have fiduciary responsibility. So to really know what's going on, to me, is really important. Anyhow.
Ramses, and then I think we're going to conclude this, but I may be wrong. I've often been wrong. Go ahead, Ramses.
I think the chair could just say, like, this is the last person, and then we're done.
Carol, so, I'd like to speak to what Lisa said as well.
All right.
Sabrina.
So I just want to first say hi to everybody being back on the board today. I've been mostly listening, trying to figure out, and trying to catch up and figure out what's going on. I think I left the board on in the fall or so. It's been a little while now. But in regards to the development director idea, I think we did a whole series of like interviews and screening applications a few years ago when we ended up hiring a new GM, Quincy. I don't recall exactly, you know, how we ended up not hiring the development director, or I think we did somebody temporarily or so, but I do remember it was tough finding someone, especially for the money that that we were offering, right? GM was tough enough. Development director was even tougher. Finding folks with, you know, impressive resumes, you know, for the work that, that we were looking. So where and how the organization can prioritize that, I hope we can do it. I appreciate that you're bringing discussion here and have done it before. You made some really great points, Lisa, about why and how. I also appreciate that you're talking about how you've had an idea to get individuals who can put up some money up front to do like a consultant or so, just to kind of get that started, because it seems like it's very important that there is a development director or someone who really oversees it and implements all these development programs and ideas, because, you know, it's been really well articulated by everybody here that that has to do a lot with our programming and assessing needs and connecting with the community further. So again, I'm just trying to catch up more, but I do feel that if it's that much of a priority, then we should ask ourselves as a board, to what extent can we make this a high enough priority, and how, right? Of course, sometimes that means we have to make sacrifices budgetarily. I don't know. I hope also PNB folks can really stress on this at the PNB level, because it's something we really need.
Sabrina and then Richard.
Well, I just wanted to leave everybody with a positive thought. It's dire, but it's not complete death. We are doing everything that we can to clean up the horrific, bad management that we had to deal with, the malfeasance, all of it. We're doing everything that we can to clean up everything on the national level. So it's bad, but it's not complete death. Thank you.
Richard.
This goes directly to what you were saying and to the idea of in the budget. We need another person at KPFA. To some degree, Antonio did some of this. We need someone else working with management, getting paid, who can fill in some of these gaps, and it needs to be in the budget. And it doesn't matter what we want to call them or her.
All right. Hooray. Shake and rattle and roll, and we're going to roll on, unless there's an objection. Okay. I think that that concludes our agenda.
Amazing. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second. All in favor, please signify. Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions. Okay. Thank you very much. That was unanimous.